Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 to 35. We are ready. Let's stand and be reading this passage, parable. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 to 35. Okay. I'll read verse 21, and then you read verse 22, all the way to verse 35 in Matthew chapter 18. The Bible reads for us, "Then came Peter to him and said, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him till seven times?'" Verse 22.
Jesus said unto him, "Say not unto thee, until seven times, but until 70 times 7.
Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants." Verse 24.
One was brought unto him, told him,
"For as much as he had not to pay," in other words, he don't have enough money to pay, "his Lord commanded him to be sold and his wife and children all that he had, and payment to be made."
Fell down and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all."
Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, loosed him, forgave him the debt.
But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me that thou owest."
And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all."
And he would not, but went and cast him into prison.
So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done.
Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, "O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me.
Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?" Verse 34.
And his Lord was wroth.
Verse 35 together. "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses." That's a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, you're going to tell us, Lord, what we need to do in forgiveness. And in fact, Lord, you were very clear. And I pray, Lord, that you will speak to our hearts in a tender way, in a compassionate way, but Lord, in a firm way, if there is certain things, Lord, we've got to deal with today. Lord, thy word is so clear about forgiveness. Help us to understand more. That the Holy Spirit will teach us that as your children, Lord, we might be free from unforgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do, and also for the chapel upstairs, I pray. For your blessings to be upon the teachers and the children. But your word will bless us, Lord, as we listen to it now. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Okay, Matthew chapter 18 is a chapter on dealing with interpersonal offenses. All right? And the sins that we commit against one another, not that we want to, but no, in the course of life, things can happen. For example, Matthew chapter 18, verse 7, if you are still in the chapter, Jesus said, "Woe unto the world because of offenses." Curse is this world because of offenses, for it must needs that offenses must come. Okay, that means, I had a friend, his name is Wilfred, at 18 years old, and we were in school, and then he was telling me, "Johnny, work with people, you will have problems because you are working with people." Okay, so offenses will come. But Jesus did give a red flag there and say, "But woe to that man by whom the offense comes." And I believe I was thinking through this. The Lord Jesus wants us to be careful not to be the offender. Just be very careful. Yes, we will stumble and we will sometimes say things that we shouldn't say. Do things we shouldn't do. Alright? But the Lord Jesus just said, just be very careful. Okay? And God made it clear that there is only one thing in the Bible that we can be angry about. Did you know that? Okay, let's look at Matthew chapter 5, all right, for the Bible. The Bible makes it clear there's only one thing that man needs to be angry about, which will not be sin, okay? After this, I'll just explain a little bit. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 to 22. "You have heard that it was said by them of old time, 'Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment.' All right, so in the olden times, or rather in the Jewish times, the commandment was, thou shalt not kill. And if you kill, you'll be in danger of the judgment, basically capital punishment, all right, according to the Mosaic law. That was what they were taught by the Pharisees, okay? But the Lord didn't come to fulfill, or rather didn't come to break the law, He came to fulfill it. In other words, whatever the Pharisees were teaching was not all the truth. And the Lord actually extended it to cover the entire truth in this area. And He says this, but I say unto you. All right, you have heard this. You know, sometimes we hear from people, you know, if that person really did this to you, then you should also do that. But then, I mean, you didn't do anything, so you're not wrong. When we intend harm to someone else, we are wrong. That's what Jesus was going to teach the people. Say, but I say unto you, whosoever is angry with brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. If we are angry with someone, the phrase without a cause is very key. Without a cause, in the Jewish terms, is that if you don't have a legal reason to be angry with this person, and you are angry with him, you are in danger of the judgment. That means you already have capital punishment set on you, okay? There must be a legitimate reason why we're angry with the other person. There must be a legitimate reason. The only reason that we can be angry with another is when he violates God's law against us. Example, if this beautiful, nice green pen belongs to Brother Gideon and he went in to take a drink, I keep it in my pocket, I walk away, he finds out he has every reason to be angry with me because I stole from him. Does that make sense? So there was a violation of God's law against him. So if in the VBS team, okay, if I choose blue T-shirt, but another brother chooses maroon T-shirt, and everyone then chooses maroon, should I be angry? There's nowhere in the Bible that says, thou shalt not choose maroon. There are certain things that doesn't amount to an offense. But people can take offense, okay? After we deal with that. Now, if I am angry with Brother Gideon for choosing maroon, I want blue, then I'm self-willed, proud, and self-seeking. Which was why the Lord Jesus had to deal with this intention. Because people were getting angry with people all over the place. And the Lord said that if you do like that, you will harm all kinds of relationships that shouldn't be harmed. He wanted to be very careful with relationships because of sin. The Lord must be very clear with that truth, okay? Now, however, not everyone thinks the way the Lord Jesus thinks. There are certain things that we feel we can be offended by. We don't think the way God thinks. You know, the Lord looks at us very clearly whether this is an offense or not, all right? Now, therefore, we may get angry over small things that don't really matter, agree? Sometimes we can get angry at small things that don't really matter. I think some of you, FBI, Pastor John, just keeps talking about the fact that churches split because of the color of toilet paper. You know what in the world? I've been influenced by people. Yeah. To split a church over toilet paper, there's only pride. There's only pride. All right? Now, in Matthew 18, God has given a formula in the Bible to deal with this. And all those who love the Lord Jesus will use Matthew 18 to deal with offenses, okay? Offenses. Now, may I say, first of all, when we obey the Lord, sometimes we don't understand, why did the Lord put this in? All I can say when I talk about the Word of God is that God's formula in the Bible are well thought out before He put it in. Example, half base times height. Find what? Wrong. You don't find triangle. You find the area of the triangle. Right? But why half base times height? Can you explain? Can you explain why half base times height? But you still use it to solve the problem, right? Right? No, when I thought on this, I realized when we obey God's word, we may not understand all the mechanical workings, but someone in their medical mind has already decided half base times height, find the area of the triangle. Yes? We follow it to solve the problem. Sometimes when we obey God, we don't have to understand everything. We just need to obey Him. We may find it's unfair, but God said, you obey me, you will be wise and you will know why. I hope this helps us to understand why we obey the Word of God sometimes when we don't even understand what God means, okay, or says. All right? So, but The Lord Jesus wasn't content in Matthew 18 just to give a formula. He wants us even more to understand, because forgiveness is something in today's context. And some people choose not to forgive. They can live with grudges for a long time. Okay? And I'm going to talk about this because I was deciding what message I preach over the next few weeks. And I believe the Lord wants us to go our area of dealing with things that matter to us personally, interpersonal relationships, and the whole area of so-called healing. Okay, I'm going to talk about that over the next few weeks. Pray for me as I think much about what the Bible has to say about that. And I believe God has a lot to say about that. But here, not in love, we're talking about love still. When people love one another, whether it's husband and wife, brother and sister, there will be offenses. There will be times that we'll step on each other's toes, right? And I believe forgiveness is very key to relationships. Would you agree? Forgiveness is a very key principle. And we want to hear what Jesus has to say and then adopt what he says. In this parable that was just read, the Lord is talking about forgiveness. And when we love someone, there will always be offenses. We may offend in what we say. We may offend in our character. That's what I do all the time. Why are you not happy? You know, some people are like that. We may offend in our actions, sometimes intentionally or not intentionally. We can offend in our ways, and sometimes we can offend very badly. What do we do? Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 is exactly what Peter, as I drive to that. Peter actually asks, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? It is provided in a Jewish law that you forgive someone three times for the same offense. But Peter wanted to show how spiritual he was. Lord, seven times? No, Lord, I'm a spiritual man, you know, so I'm going to forgive him seven times? What was the Lord Jesus' response? The Lord said, Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee. In other words, I'm not telling you this. I'm telling you this, that you are wrong. until 70 times 7. 70 times 7 equals to? Cherubel? Don't be shy. Yeah, we're 490, yes. Cherubel? 70 times 7 equals? 490, okay? It's 490. All right, remember that for your maths exam, okay? What's the Lord Jesus saying? I think all of us know the Lord Jesus doesn't intend for us to, okay, you sin against me one time, one. Strike one, strike two, strike three, strike until 490 times, 491 times, then I cannot forgive you. The Lord is not saying that. God is saying this. And I want to tell you the four truths about forgiveness. Okay? The first truth. When Jesus said, I told you 70 times 7, it means I want you to forgive that individual innumerable times. First truth. It is always God's will for us as His children to forgive. If you're a child of God, forgiveness is mandatory. There is no negotiation with God on that. You know why? Forgiveness reflects the character of God. And therefore, His children must learn. But brother, when it's hard, then you have to learn. It's what God wants us to do. To bring healing, to bring reconciliation. There must be forgiveness, okay? I want you to notice two truths from Matthew 21, 20, chapter 18, verse 21, 22. We are to forgive every sin against us. You say, how often shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him till seven times? No, you forgive him every sin against you, you must forgive. What? But Brother Johnny, I think you agree that there are big sins and small sins, right? Yes, but it's still, you need to forgive whether it's big or small. But it's hard, you know. I know if he takes something away from me, I can buy it back. But he hurt me here, you know. There's always sins of the heart that gets hurt. That has to be forgiven too. Okay? So the first truth, it is God's will. Do we have to pray about forgiveness? Do we have to pray about forgiveness? If it's God's will? No. I pray that God will help me forgive him. God is just going to wait there and say, I already told you, you need to forgive. And this is a hard thing, because our human pride tends to stop us from forgiving someone else. It's all pride. That's why God made it mandatory. One thing I learned about God, I hope you know him, when he puts something mandatory, he knows it's good for us. After this, we'll talk about that. So, truth number one, it is always God's will for us as His children to forgive. And no, under this, we also to forgive every time. Because every time He sins against you, every time you have to forgive Him. Oh, Brother Johnny, that's... Well, what if He takes advantage of me? Now, God made provision for other things. For example, sometimes people do take advantage of our forgiveness, right? God actually gave the provision for the offender to rebuke that person and give you a good lashing. We'll talk about it in Luke chapter 17. Now, of course, you don't call him names and curse him and all that kind of thing. But you say, look, you did it this time again and again. What are you trying to do? I forgive you, but... God does give provision, all right? But the truth of Matthew 18 is this. We are to forgive every single time. All right? Just hold this truth first. And then later on, I will show you from the Bible what forgiveness looks like. Okay? And how we can actually do that. Number one. Number two, let's look at verse 23-24. Jesus went on to actually tell a parable. He says, therefore, the kingdom is the kingdom of heaven, likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servant. In this phrase itself, Jesus is saying, for every child of God, the kingdom of heaven has the idea of everyone who lives under the rulership of God, the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king, which is Lord Jesus, who will take account of his servants. That means that every one of us are responsible to account to God for the way we behave with one another. You are equally as responsible to God for your behavior with one another as I am as pastor. Okay? And the king will take an account. All right? Make no mistake about that. So Jesus says, so the kingdom, he illustrates in the Christian world, the kingdom of heaven, this is how God expects his servant to behave. In verse 24, when he began to reckon, he asked the servants to come and he reckoned, has the idea of judging them, taking an account of them, or what have you done with this, or what have you done with that. One was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. 10,000 talents? 10,000 talents, the equivalent today, is between $10 to $20 million. Okay? Now, that's interesting because, assuming you work 50 years in this life, you want to work 50 years. Now, people want to retire by 25 or 30, right? Earn your million. But assuming you would work 50 years, and generally the average income, per capita income in Singapore is about 80,000. So that means in 50 years, 80,000, how much would you have earned in one lifetime? How much? 4 million. Okay? How much does this guy owe the king? About 10 million. He will need 2.5 lifetimes to pay back. You know what's the principle? Truth number two, we owe God more than we can ever pay Him back. We need to remember that every time there's a forgiveness issue. We owe God more than we can ever pay Him back. This guy requires at least 2.5 lifetimes to pay back the king. Christian, that's why I mentioned before, your forgiveness is anchored in the cross. What Jesus did for us. Don't ever forget that. Okay? Now, in order for him to pay the sum of talents, he will need to 2.5 lifetimes. In verse 25, for as much as he had not to pay, he don't have money to pay, the Lord commanded, instructed him to be sold, his wife and his children, all that he had, and payment to be made. God is just, and therefore, the servant and we are also under obligation to pay for every sin. Don't ever forget that, because it will help you forgive next time. Every sin that you and I have ever committed against God, we are under obligation to pay every single one. This is what the parable Jesus is saying. He ordered the man to be sold, his wife, his children, and all that he had, so that he can pay for everything. Okay? We are sinners, and the wages of sin is
death.
We deserve everlasting punishment. Moving on in verse 26-27... The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. If you are the king, and this guy comes and says, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all, what would you think? You must be kidding me. You must be kidding me. You think you can pay me back all? You know, it's interesting how when a man realizes how much he owes someone else, owes God, the first thing he wants to do is to try to make amends, which is the right thing to do. But in this situation, notice how God responds. And I want us to take from this parable that Jesus teaches to understand the character of God in forgiveness, which every child of God needs to learn. All right? The Bible says in verse 27, then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion. I believe there's two reasons why he was moved with compassion. The first one is this. The king knows, you can never pay me back. You can never pay me back. You need 2.5 lifetimes to live to pay me back, number one. Number two, the king knew that if he ever were to pay that, he is going to lose everything, including his own life. When God looked at us in forgiving us, he knew that if we ever pay for our own sin, we will go to a devil's hell forever. Not that he wants to send us there, but that is the legitimate consequence of our sin. And God, all compassion, looked at us and said, you can't pay me back. And you stand to lose everything. Genuine compassion from the Bible always acts in favor for the other person. So what did the Lord do? He was moved with compassion and loosed him. The word losing is interesting. The word losing means he no longer hold this person responsible for the $10 million. Imagine. And basically making him a free man. Forgive. The word forgive comes from the root word grace. Every time you forgive, you give grace and set that person free. Did you know that? That was exactly what God did with this man. That man didn't owe the king anymore. Amen? You and I are in that condition. And therefore, the truth, number three, God chose to forgive when we owe him a debt we cannot pay. And it's painful. It cost him his son, but he still chose to forgive. And Christian, understand the character of God and let the Holy Spirit speak to you when it comes to forgiveness. And sometimes it may be God is bringing up people in your hearts right now and say, I can never forgive him. Remember, God chose to forgive when we cannot pay him back the debt. God loosed us from our debt, no longer holding him responsible. And it's a very simple thing. I cannot pay a fine that I'm supposed to pay. Brother Gideon comes and say, Pastor, I'll pay the $500 fine for you. You know what? I will walk outside and people can say, hey, you still owe $500? I said, no. You're very guilty. Yes, I'm guilty, but he paid for me. No police officer in Singapore can ever capture me back and put me in prison because he paid. That's exactly who we are. When we stand before God at the judgment seat, your sin will never be brought up again. Amen? And some of us have things in our lives that we will never be proud of. But God has said, because you put faith in my son, I choose to forgive you and wipe you clean. Amen? You know what that essentially does? Gives the person a second chance. How many of you want a second chance? We all need a second chance. Not one. We need second chances. And that's what God got. Christ made us free from guilt, from sin, and we no longer need to be worried about that anymore. Truth number four. Look at verse 28 to 34. But this same servant went out. How many of you know what's the title of this parable? It's called the parable of the unforgiving servant. And so this servant went out and found one of his fellow servants owed 100 pence and laid hand on him and took him by the throat. Oi, you pay me back what you owe. Okay, out. See? It's never right to hit someone. Okay. 100 pence, 1 pence, 1 day, only about 3 months, payable, compared to this guy, 2.5 lifetimes, means that he went out, got this guy, and force this guy to pay him something that within 3 months can be settled. Pay me that thou owest, verse 29. His fellow servant fell on the hole, besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. I believe the Holy Spirit, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is exactly the same words this man said to the king. Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. You know what the Holy Spirit is trying to say? The same thing we appeal to God is the same thing those who offend us is appealing to us. Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Okay? But he would not. He would not. Have you ever met people who are just angry? And when you really talk to them, you realize the source of their anger. You say, hey, you need to let it go. No! And they bitter their whole lives. And sometimes even as Christians. Is Christians able to be ungrateful? Do you know how you can be ungrateful as a Christian? Don't forgive. He would not, but went and cast. He even took action against this guy. He cast him into prison till he should pay all his debts. And just let the word of God speak for himself. Verse 31, when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry. They said, hey, wow, the king forgave him. Forgave him two in a lifetime debt. Here, cannot. We need to do something. The angels of God, perhaps, poor God. God knows, okay? The idea here, I'm not trying to point anything more, but the idea here is that God knows what you are doing. And God will take us to task. Okay? Let's move on with that. Verse 10. Then his Lord, after that he had called him and said, O thou wicked servant, I forgive thee all thy debt because thou desirest me. Is it possible to be an ungrateful Christian? Yes, where we will not forgive another people, we become an ungrateful Christian. Because God said, I forgive thee all the debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I have pity on you? You owe me more than he owe you. Can't you at least let him go? We become an ungrateful servant. We forget what was done to us when we don't forgive someone else. There is no one on earth who can ever hurt us more than how much we hurt God. Would you agree with me? There is no one on earth who can ever hurt us more than how much we hurt God. And for some of us, I'm just going to say this, in all the love I can master, we offend God every day in the same way when we choose not to confess our sin. And every time you are stabbing Christ, when he said, I will forgive you if you will repent. Christians, we cannot be ungrateful. This is what this parable is about. God says, I've forgiven you. Can't you let a person go? In Matthew chapter 18, verse 32, then his Lord said, after they called him, I forgive thee all thy debt because thou desirest. No, God, number one, and truth number four, in response to what God has done for us, the three truths I mentioned, God's standard or expects us to forgive those who offend us. It is an expectation. There's no negotiation about that. The truth is God has forgiven us and we're on our way to heaven. Amen? That's a truth. But God then turns around and says, yeah, well, how do you live that truth? By forgiving your brother who offended you. God is angry with us if we do not forgive. Because in verse 34, and his Lord was angry. When the anger of God is kindled, God is only angry at one thing. What's that? He gets angry every day at sin. Psalm chapter 9, and verse 7, verse 11. God is angry with the wicked every day. The only thing that God gets angry at, he gets very stern about, is when we sin. And God was angry with this unforgiving servant. God is angry with us if we do not forgive. And God says also, we are wicked if we do not forgive. That is what God called you, wicked servant. Oh, let the word of God sink in. Can you imagine standing before God and say, Johnny, you are so wicked. I forgave you and you cannot forgive him? 3 months' wages and you owe me 150 months of wages. If you want to calculate 50 years, 50 years, 50 years. Wow, 125. He just owes you 3 months. Easily settled in 3 months, payback, finish. And you cannot forgive him the 3 months' salary and you owe me 125 months and I forgive you everything? You wicked. You know, when God put those words, it is not politically correct. But God just wants to lay it clearly to us. We, in the sight of God, is wicked when we choose not to forgive as a child of God. Because it's thou wicked servant. All right? I'm just sharing it from you. Sometimes it does cut into the heart, but the truth does hurt. That's God's analysis of our character when we are unforgiving. Okay? And as we go on, if we are wicked, we do not forgive, but there is torment. You know what God says in verse 33? Shouldest thou not also have compassion on thy fellow servant as I have pity on thee? And his Lord was angry and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Now there are many interpretations about what the tormentors are. Apparently there was one whereby if you can't pay back, they will send the Alongs to come and find you. Okay, in the Alongs those days is as you walk into the marketplace, they will have this group of people who will bang, thinking, hey, this person owe money, don't pay, owe money, bang, basically make you ashamed, you know? All right? There's a possibility. But here, many people believe the torment has to do if there's a torment that God puts in a person who is unforgiving. Okay? In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15, I'll just read, it's in your verse, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Now, looking diligently, read Hebrews chapter 12. Some people may have bitterness over things that have happened, but notice what God gives for, lest any man fail of the grace. If you have a problem with forgiving someone, God gives grace. But God says, if you don't take that grace, you fail of it, that means you don't make use of it, what happens? Bitterness will spring up. Okay? When God deals with anger, for example, he deals it at the root. You say, if you're angry without a cause and you choose not to forgive, it will lead to murder. How many of us here have ever had this thought, I don't ever want to see him if I've got a chance to just blast him off the planet or I'll do something to him, then I don't have to ever see. You know, if we're honest, we see a lot of movie serials, right? The drama, Chinese drama, they do that. Whatever. And the whole family have to stop him, you know. Why? It's actually a truth. Anger will lead to murder if it's not controlled. That's why God makes it mandatory for Christians to forgive. Because he knows where the sin will take us. Does it make sense? And God has to do, and God has to put it in very strong terms for Christians to wake up and realize, hey, we can't play a fool with unforgiveness. You know what happens? When the bitterness is really in us and we continue with it, it will actually trouble us. We get angry. It consumes our entire life. And when you work, you think of, wish I could. And when you're going home, you take it out on your whoever, and thereby many be defiled. Your ministry gets affected if you're a Christian, if you're serving, just because of one thing, unforgiveness. And we need to learn to, the word forgive means to let it go. We need to let it go, but if we don't, there is torment when we do not forgive. And then in Matthew chapter 18, verse 35, Jesus said, in the same way shall my heavenly Father do also to you. When the Lord said that, we need to take. You know, many people today don't take very seriously to Jesus' words anymore. Jesus says, if you will not forgive, my heavenly Father will do the same to you. Wow. I don't know about you. I know one character of Christ. He doesn't lie. Because he is all truth. And when he says, my heavenly Father is going to do it to you, if you don't forgive, Christians, we need to take it seriously. We need to let things go. But brother Johnny, that was bad he did to me. Nothing is as bad as when you crucified Jesus at the cross. And that's why our forgiveness is always anchored in the cross. It cannot be from you because you will never forgive. I will never forgive because we are so selfish, so proud, so sinful. We need something else to motivate us. And Jesus taught us at the cross, as people were crucifying Him, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Remember, He experienced the pain. Not just the pain of enemies crucifying Him, but friends forsaking Him. I think that puts it in context. When Jesus says, Father, forgive them, obviously, probably in context, it's the Roman soldiers, but I don't think it's very far-fetched. He said, Father, forgive Peter who abandoned me. Father, forgive Bartholomew who said that I was a righteous man. Father, and he forsook. Father, forgive. The Bible said all the disciples forsook Him. Have you been forsaken by people? You know, God is teaching us from His example to learn to forgive. So Jesus actually said, if you don't forgive, there are two things about forgiveness. If ye from your hearts, number one, the forgiveness must be from your heart. And it's just saying, from the place it hurts the most. I was sharing, again, I used that scene. I learned many lessons just because I have a little pain. I actually have a little growth in my ear. And I was talking to Brother Gideon about it, and he says, no, Pastor, it's called a carbuncle or something like that. It's called a carbuncle. I don't know how to call it a carbuncle, but it's called a carbuncle. Apparently, the thing inside, you actually, it's something called the eye. It's some sort of like an infection that's like a little blob inside. And in order for it to heal, you have to pull it out. You have to pull it out. And so I was very brave. Well, before I shout, I was. And it was like, when I squeeze, it's like, number one, it's very foul smelling. I really can smell it. Number two, when I squeeze it, it's shoot to the bathroom wall. And it was like, and you know, it's not, I was there literally for 10 minutes. And I was trying to squeeze the thing out. And it took me 3 days. Not that 3 days I'm in the shower squeezing it out. All right, over. You know the lesson I learned? Unforgiveness, when God says, from your hearts you need to forgive. In other words, you've got to dig deep. Many people say, technically forgive, but I don't ever want to see you again. That's not forgiveness. It will come out again. That's why God says, from the heart. You need to dig deep, you need to go in, you need to say, God, I forgive, even though it's so painful. We need to. Any cancer, any problem, when we go into the surgeon goes for the root cause, right? They deal with the thing because that is the thing that needs to come out so that healing can happen. That is one of the things I'm going to talk about in healing. There is no healing without confession. There's no healing without forgiveness of sin. Zero. You can wait till the cows come home. It is not going to happen. Because God has already put in spiritual principles for us to follow. Okay, number one, forgiveness is must be from the heart. Number two, forgiveness is towards everyone. If ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespass. God, you mean I got to forgive everyone? Does Jesus do that? When we forgive everyone, we reflect the character of Christ. Let's look at Luke chapter 17. In response, God expects us to forgive those who offend us. Okay, I'll just highlight some points as you turn. God is angry with us when we do not forgive. There is torment when we do not forgive. These are some points. Forgiveness is towards everyone. Forgiveness must be from the heart. But look at Luke chapter 17, verse 3 to 10. Take heed to yourselves if thy brother trespass against you. That means if the brother do something, the word trespass means overstep the boundaries. Overstep the boundaries. Okay? Take heed. When you say, please don't do that, and the person does that, he has trespassed that boundary. That's what it means. If thy brother trespass against thee, verse 3 in Luke 17, rebuke him. God gave the provision to scold him. Hey, I said, don't do that. Why did you do that? God gave you every reason to do that because he trespassed against thee. But if he then repent, then forgive him. Okay? And if he trespass against thee seven times in the day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Jesus taught that. You know what the disciple says? Look at verse 5 and think. What? After Jesus said, seven times in a day, he did the same thing to you, what are you supposed to do? If he offend you in seven times in a day, what are you supposed to do? Forgive him. How did the apostles react? Verse 5. Increase our faith. Why do you think he'd say that? Because you can never forgive in the flesh. If you try to forgive, you can say technically you forgive, but forgiveness from the heart must come from God. That's why the Lord God increased our faith. What the disciples said, God, what you're trying to tell us to do is not possible humanly. And some of the things that people can do with one another is not possible to forgive humanly. That's why the apostles gave us a very real thing. Lord, you need to increase our faith. Not increase my time. Some people say, give me time, I'll do it. You can never do that. You can never forgive, even if you ask for 10 years. Because it hurts the heart. You cannot use time to heal the heart. It can get better, but the unforgiveness will always be there. It has to be by faith. Okay, number one. And let's go on in verse 6. And the Lord said, interesting, immediately after that, in the context, Jesus went on to say, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, it shall obey you. In other words, forgiveness can be easy if you put faith where it should be. Just a faith of a mustard seed, all you need for the forgiveness. But then in verse 7 to verse 10, it's a very interesting thing. I think I've talked about it before. But which of you, having a servant plying or feeding cattle, will say unto him, by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? In other words, how many of you have a servant, after he worked in the field, you ask, hey, come, eat. No, you actually ask, go and prepare dinner for me, because he's a servant. He's a servant, so he works in the field. He finishes work in the field. You're the master. He comes into the house. The master is going to say, oh, you work so hard, come and eat. No, the master is going to tell a servant, okay, now you finish your work there, go and prepare dinner for me. Okay, that's what in verse 7. Verse 8, would not you rather say, make ready wherewith I may sup and gird myself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and after thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank the servant because he did the things which are commanded him? I know not. The word throw means I know not. Verse 10, likewise, when ye shall have done all these things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Now, what is the context of this parable? Forgiveness. God said, I am not asking you to forgive. I am commanding you to forgive. And as a servant who loves his master, he will say, yes, Lord. No matter how painful it is, I will. And that's why in verse 10, when we say that we shall command it, we must say we are unprofitable servants. You know what's the idea there? God, we don't deserve to be forgiven by you in the first place. But we'll do it because we love you and because you love us. And we're just going to follow what you say. God is painful to us, but I'll do it. Forgiveness requires faith in Christ. You can't do it yourself. It requires a living faith. If we have not learned to put faith in Christ in the normal things of life, forgiveness will be hard for us. How does forgiveness look like? I'm going to finish soon. Look at Genesis 45, okay? How does forgiveness look like? Okay, I've learned. I know I must forgive because of what Jesus has done for me. And I can never pay back what God has done for me. And so God expects me to, in return for the grace I received from him, to give it to my brother. And I know it's a command. If I don't forgive, God calls me wicked. Now I know also forgiveness requires faith. But how does forgiveness look like? How does it look like? Genesis chapter 45. From the life of Joseph. Do you know that Joseph had a big offense against him? Can you imagine, Hannah, that Leah Grace and Cheribel decided one day they're going to sell you to Malaysia without Brother Francis and Brother Naida, no, Brother Sister Naida. No. By the way, Sister Naida's birthday today, right? No, not yet. Poof. Coming, yes, coming, coming. Okay, so as a birthday present, no. So we can eat another piece of cake, let's say. How would you feel towards your two sisters if we will sell you to Malaysia? How, shocked. Right? How would you feel, Ezra, if little Noah and Ruth tie you up, send you on AC-7, and send you to Malaysia forever? How do you feel? Don't know. Okay, and he's still young. Okay, he's still trying to process. You know, the Bible said that Joseph had anguish of soul. The day that the brothers actually sold him to say, he was screaming, "Brothers, don't do this to me." And you know what Reuben and the people did? Shut their ears to him. You know why? Because they hated him. Can you imagine the frustration and anger that Joseph had? And you know, when Joseph went to Egypt, of course, God blessed him. And you know, when he got married to the Pharaoh's daughter, he had two children, and both children, Manasseh and Ephraim, was named to forget this. Guess what? 13 years later, his problem came back to haunt him. And in Genesis 45, then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood. I think we all know the story. We'll cut it short. The brothers came to buy grain. This was the second time. Can you imagine facing the one that sold you into slavery? You guys said, "Now's my chance. I'm the second in command." Joseph could have easily asked the Egyptian soldiers to kill him. Get rid of them, right? He had every right to do that. But Joseph had a higher principle. What's that? The Lord was with him. Christians, in every situation you face, you have a higher principle. You do not yield to the principle of your flesh. You yield to the principle of faith. But I must say a few things. Number one, in forgiveness, there will always be a struggle. Because Joseph, do you realize every time Joseph looked at his brothers, he got to run in there to cry? He could not refrain himself this time. That stood by him and cried and caused every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him. But Joseph made himself known. In verse 2, he wept abroad, wept aloud, and the house of Pharaoh heard. And then he made himself known. Joseph said to him, "I am Joseph." Can you imagine what? Huh? Does my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. There will always be a struggle, especially when someone has hurt you or offended you deeply. But notice what Joseph did. Verse 4, and Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me." In forgiveness, the offended will always welcome the offender. In modern day forgiveness, "I will forgive you, but get out of my sight. I don't ever want to see you again." Isn't that true? Not in genuine Bible forgiveness. It is always, "Come near to me." You know, one of the most beautiful pictures of that is that one day you and I, being enemies of God, when we trusted Jesus, he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I know you have sinned against me. I know you've offended me. I know you've done all these things against me. But you settled at the cross. You come to me." Genuine forgiveness always welcomes the offender. But Brother Johnny, is hard. The Bible never said immediately. There's always a struggle, but you must settle in your heart. It could be that, I don't know, but I would never say it, but Joseph may have had to do business with God because he finally come. You know, at that point of time, the offense was cleared. The offense was cleared. Okay, going on. In verse 5, "Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves." Forgiveness cares for what the other person thinks. You know, in when we forgive, we always say, "You don't know what you've done to me." No, in genuine forgiveness, he always cares about the other person. He said, "Don't be grieved, don't be angry yourself that ye sold me thither, for God did send me before you to preserve life." In forgiveness, the offender always welcomes the offended. In forgiveness, the offender is loose from the debt. The person who is being offended, Joseph, loosed the offender from the debt by seeing the will of God. Joseph told the brothers, don't be angry. They're supposed to tell him, Joseph, don't be angry. No grief with yourself. Yeah, you were the ones who sent me here. You were the perpetrators. But God had a plan. In forgiveness, you need to know that God has a plan. Because like I say, you can never in your flesh forgive God. Say, God, I know that whatever is happening to me, you have a plan. You have a plan. And Joseph brought the brothers in, and Joseph said, I will lose you because you thought you were selling me, but actually God had a plan. Forgiveness is always anchored in the plan of God. Because in this life, sometimes you can never know, how can this person ever do this against me? If you're a child of God, you'll be surprised that God can use even offenses to grow you, to make you better, and especially in Joseph's case, to fulfill his will of saving people. Can you imagine as a Christian, just an example, if someone offended you so badly and everyone knows it, but you live by the grace of God and you forgive that person, you know how powerful your testimony is that God can use? And it can be an anchor point for someone else who may have gone a wrong way and say, because you forgive, I believe God will give me the strength too. And in Joseph, he not only loosed the offender from the debt by seeing the will of God, from verse 6 to 11, guess what? Joseph took care of the offender. In verse 6, for these 2 years had the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be hearing or harvest. God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and save your life by great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me thither, but God. And he had made me a father to Pharaoh. And if you are a father to Pharaoh, you are in a pretty strong position. Pharaoh treats you as a father, okay? The ruler throughout the land, haste ye and go to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, thy children's children, thy flocks and thy herds, and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee. That's unconditional love. You did this to me, but guess what? I'm going to take care of you. Because I've seen things from God's perspective. I understand now. And sometimes we may not understand, but understand this. God do have a plan. God's will is for us to forgive. And Joseph told the church, yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. You know, for Joseph, the sin against him, if you read in Genesis 50, Joseph was very sad that his brothers don't trust his sincerity. Sometimes when you forgive someone that way, people may still think you're angry with them. But when you've settled it with God, he's at the cross, under the blood, it's over. Okay? If you've genuinely forgiven, what it looks like is as if the offense never happened. Do you know when you go into heaven, when the Lord Jesus sees you, he will say, welcome home, my son. But Lord, I'm not worthy. You know what he's going to do? Put the robe on you, put the ring on your finger, put the shoes on you. You're my son. But God, I did all this to you. Yeah, I know. But I don't hold it against you anymore. That's forgiveness. It's as if nothing happened, and you know, the person can actually have a second chance. I want all of us to memorize one verse. Let's turn to Psalm 119, verse 165. It will protect us from offenses from the beginning. But I hope that this will give us a picture of what biblical forgiveness is. Some of us may say, Brother Johnny, that is impossible. That's why I made it very clear. The apostle says, increase our faith. Psalm 119, verse 165. Ready? 119 verse 1, ready? 1, 2, begin. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Okay? Okay? Nothing. How do you get not easily offended? Great peace have they which love thy law. You know, people who get easily offended, they don't love the law of God. That's what the Bible says. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. The word of God is saturated in their hearts. They see things from God's perspective. They have a peace that even though wrongs may come to them, they're not going to get offended. They may get hurt. They may get pained. But they won't hold it because they're seeing things from God's perspective. Does that make sense? That's why those who came for Sunday Bible Hour, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. You need to be saturated with God's word. So that whatever offenses come to you, you can manage it. Just like when you go to work as a manager or as an engineer, because you've been studying and practicing your trade, any problems that come, yes, it's a challenge, but you're not overwhelmed by it. Does that make sense? You can manage it because you know the SOPs. As we close, is there someone you cannot forgive today? Forgiveness starts the process of healing inside your hearts. We're going to deal with that as we go along. But it's so important. Some people say, give me time. Time's not going to heal the unforgiveness. Because unforgiveness is sin. And the only way to deal with that sin is to repent of it and forgive. It's a spiritual wound. Does that make sense? It's a spiritual wound. And we have to forgive so that God can be free to operate in our lives. Does that make sense? Because God makes it clear, Matthew chapter 6, if you will not forgive, then I'm not going to forgive you. And if I don't forgive you, you have no channel of help spiritually. So don't deceive ourselves. Many people in this world say, give me time. It's not going to help. We need repentance. And we need forgiveness. Because unforgiveness is a sin and has to be dealt with. And once it's over, you know what? The flow of the Holy Spirit can come in to help us. And yes, it's painful. But God wants us to learn to forgive. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we just humble ourselves to know that it is your word that is going to change hearts, not my words. It's your words that's going to help us to be forgiving just as Jesus was. Lord, the world has been hurt many times, perhaps. Christians have been hurt or whatever, the offenses have happened, but God, if it's happened, it's happened. There's nothing we can do about it, Lord. And you know it, but yet, Lord, we're so thankful because you're not a God that just looks at the offense because he knows it's going to happen. But God, you put the remedies in the Bible. You put the medicine in the Bible and the medicine called forgiveness you put in there. That we are to be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. Oh, Lord, I pray for our brethren right now who may have someone or some situations they cannot forgive. They just can't get it out of their minds. But, Lord, I pray that you help them to increase their faith so that they can deal with this. Eyes closed, heads bowed. There's someone who said, Pastor, pray for me. Let's be honest. There's someone I really need to forgive. And I want to, amen, I see that hand. One person, anyone else? Amen, I see that hand. That hand too. Anyone else? Amen, I see that hand. Amen, I see that hand too. That hand, amen. Amen. I encourage you, pray that person and say, Lord, from my heart I forgive. What you say may not help, but when you say, Lord, I forgive because I want to obey you, help me. God will come in and help, but you need to submit to him. And you need to forgive that person. You need to be able to go to that person as if nothing has happened. That's the key. It may take time, but you have started. If you say, God, help me to forgive, I will forgive. As Joseph had to do it. Is there someone else? All right? Father, I pray for all these believers who have put up their hands. It could be a small thing. It could be deep things. Yet, Lord, the cross is sufficient with all its grace to strengthen us to forgive. I pray for every father, every mother, every child who has put up their hands, every believer who has put up their hands, for us, for prayer. Lord, only you know what is the area of unforgiveness, I pray that you will help these brethren to let it go, never to bring it up again. And when they are able to see that person, help them in love, in care, to care for that person, to present the unconditional love so desperately needed in this cruel world. That, Lord, we might be your light. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. Lord, we need your help to be strong soldiers of Christ, that we might help someone else walk with you. Thank you, Lord. As we sing the closing hymn, His Robes for Mine, I pray that it will be a constant reminder, Lord, of what you went through for us, so that we can forgive someone else too. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please, let's just go to our Lord and pray. Father, thank you for a reminder once again that the cost was so great that only Jesus can pay that. I pray for a brother or sister right now who feels that, God, I cannot. Help them to know that they can in Christ. That it is by faith we forgive. It is through trusting in the finished work of Christ that we can fully understand what it means to forgive and to loose that person from the debt they owe us. Lord, help us to put away the selfishness of our heart, the pride of our hearts. Oh yeah, we can have all the reasons not to forgive. But Lord, when we look at the Savior who forgave us, Lord, there is nothing we cannot forgive. When we know that we owe a debt we cannot pay, and you pay a debt for us that we cannot pay you, when we owe you, Father, humble our hearts to practice this in our daily lives, that there might be healing in the heart of this individual, that there might be healing in the person that is helping that person, or the family, or the situations around. Lord, help us to submit to you first. Because you are the one who forgave us. And Lord, you taught us in your word, in the life of Joseph, what it meant to forgive. A picture of Christ. That we meant you evil, Lord, through our sin and our rebellion. But Lord, you took our sin at the cross. Wash it out of the way when we put faith in you, asking you for forgiveness, I pray. I pray for a brother or sister once again, for those who have chosen to forgive. Lord, set them free from the burdens of their heart and mind, and give them the evidence of the forgiveness as they welcome the offender, as they say, I forgive you to that offender. As they learn to care for that offender, the picture of unconditional love. Lord, I pray that we will not be like the ungrateful servant or the unforgiving servant. That we will learn. Lord, you came to set us free from our burdens and our sin and our unforgiveness. Teach us to live that. So Lord, I commend everyone into your hands today as we leave, as we fellowship. The forgiveness will truly be a hallmark of our lives from now on. Not because of what I say, because of what the Word of God teaches us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.